God's going to impart some faith today. We haven't been studying faith. It's not a coincidence that we've been studying faith. He's going to impart even more faith today because we've seen the answer to our prayers, bringing John here, ordaining here, and installing you guys as associates. We've seen the results of our faith. We've seen it in our own lives, and we're going to see more and more in the coming days because the people need faith right now. They need hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. So they're going to get that. In our faith series, we're in Hebrews 11, and I love it for two reasons. For one, I'm half Jewish. So I like that there's a letter to my Jewish brethren. At least half of me likes it. My Jewish father used to sing a Jewish lament. Roses are red, violets are bluish. If it weren't for Jesus, we'd all still be Jewish. So I've changed that. Roses are red, violets are bluish. Actually, because of Jesus, we all can be Jewish. The second thing I love about Hebrews 11 is it's all about faith. And the verses we're going to cover today are packed with Hall of Faithers. I remember the first time I went to the Battery and saw the Hall of Famers on display, all the baseball heroes. It was inspiring. Hebrews puts the Hall of Faithers on full display here. It traces faith from the very beginning with Abel through the end, the final fulfillment of our faith, heaven. Now the deal is that in between that, we get to live in this world. Before our passage today, Hebrews 11 tells a lot of stories of heroes of the faith, culminating with Karen's great message last week about the faith of the prostitute Rahab and the acts of faith that caused the walls of Jericho to fall. Think of that. Acts of faith caused the walls of Jericho. God spoke, they believed it, they acted on it, and Jericho fell. And I love how science keeps confirming over and over again. Remember, 40, 50 years ago, the cover of the magazine, Time Magazine, is God dead? Right now, Eric Metaxas, I don't know, many of you may follow Eric Metaxas, he wrote a book now, Is Atheism Dead? Because science has confirmed over and over again. I love this. In between 1930 and 36, Professor John Garston wrote, as to the main fact, then, there remains no doubt that the walls, he's talking about the walls of the city of Jericho, fell outward so completely that any attackers would be able to climb over and have their way with the city. They've confirmed it. They fell outward. Walls don't fall outward when you attack it. They fall outward when you march around it seven times, obeying God. After 10 or so great accounts in this chapter of Hebrews that we've been studying, you have these great faith stories. Hebrews starts to sum it up with our verses today. So starting at verse 32, let's look at this. And what more should I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice. We just saw that Friday. Justice coming through faith, or obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenching raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received their dead by resurrection. Wow, I love that. That's the faith I want. Faith where everything just happens perfectly. Everything comes to fruition. Everything is worked out. Miracles happen. You have a little faith and bada boom, bada bing, miracles. I love it. And you know what? These great faith escapades that I just read about, they were for real. I mean, they happened. And guess what? They're still happening today. There is no indication. I don't care what you've heard. In any church you've been into, in anything that anybody's said to you, I don't care what you've heard, there is no biblical, spiritual, or real support for the fact that these things have stopped happening. In fact, Jesus said it clearly. He said, these things I've been doing, all these miracles, you're going to do also. In fact, you're going to do greater things than these because I go to the Father. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. And he's working through us. When Jesus was here, the Holy Spirit was in him, one person. He had all the gifts. He did all the miracles. But now the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, the same Spirit that lived in Jesus, that raised Jesus from the dead, is living in us. That's why we can do greater things in him, because it's distributed throughout the whole earth. So I love these things. I just love that. But it's a little harder to love the fact that the Bible doesn't stop there. It's even harder for me to root out the bitterness in my heart from the preaching team that wouldn't let me stop there. I forgive you guys. Yeah, you got to go with what you got, right? Thank you. The very next sentence is this. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Boy, I like that conquering armies and raising people from the dead better than that torture stuff. A whole lot. But you know what it is? For the first group, faith secured for them temporal victories. And that's what faith does. That's true faith. Faith makes things happen on earth. It releases God's power. But for this group we just read about, faith gained them temporary torture and even death. That's true faith too. Their victories were eternal, not temporal. God's preparing us to stand in three kinds of faith for this coming season. First, the faith to stand for Jesus no matter what. It used to be popular to be a Christian, then it became a little marginalized, and now Christians are the enemy of the state. There may come a time when we are called on to stand for Jesus at the risk of our well-being, our freedom, our jobs, maybe even our lives. Then secondly, we have to have faith to stand for and pray for righteousness and justice in the face of this ever-increasing anti-God culture. Third, we need faith to stand in the promises of God to us. To stand in the evidence of faith, even when other evidence tells us differently. Today I was going to call our message substance abuse. Because the Bible says faith is a substance. And we've abused that. We haven't really stood on knowing that faith is the substance itself for the hope that God's put in our hearts, for what we believe in. And instead, I'm just going to call it how to get a faith lift. Sorry. Not as sorry as you are. You know, my skin, let's not get into my skin and faith lifts. No, let's not do that. Nearly 4 years ago, I heard this doctor's report. The doctor said, you have incurable cancer. And that was a fact. My body had the indications that the cancer I had was incurable, and the doctor knows enough to be able to tell me that. That was a fact. But I had to decide what I was going to believe. Was I going to believe just in the facts of the doctor in this temporal world with their limited knowledge, or was I going to believe in the unlimited knowledge of the God who is Jehovah Rapha, the healer? To believe what the doctor's report says, or to believe what God's report says? And I said, God, what are you saying? And he said over and over to me, this is just a bump. It's not going to take you out. I go, okay, I believe that. He says, you will live and not die and live to declare the glory of the God. I said, okay, I'll believe that. Because faith is always a choice. You know, guys, it's not a matter of whether we have faith. We have faith. It's what we have faith in. So God said, are you going to have faith in this doctor's report? You're going to have faith in me. He said, what is your evidence in and what is your hope in? And I said, well, faith is my evidence. He says, do you have faith? I said, yes. He says, okay, what do you hope in? I said, well, I'm hoping that what you've said is true. I'm going to live through this, okay? That's what the beginning of the chapter says. Faith is the substance of what you hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever had to make a choice between faith and other evidence? Yeah, daily. When I was in bed or in the hospital with long COVID after I got completely healed of this incurable cancer, I had to live by faith again. After living in faith for 9 months, I was healed almost instantaneously. But the problem was, it was kind of faith and then my healing. And then there's this 9 months in between. Faith is the gap between what we know of God and his promises and what we know in our factual experience. material world. So faith is that substance in between. That's what God says. I want you to walk by faith. I want you to walk not in the flesh. I want you to walk in the Spirit. That's by faith. So when the Bible says faith is the substance and the evidence, what is it the substance and evidence of? Of things hoped for and things not seen. So if we only have faith in what we can touch, what's real in this material world, that's not faith at all. You know, it's really hard in our Southern evangelical culture because people expect you to have faith for eternal life. If you believe in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven, right? All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Is it tangible? Is it touchable? Is it there? No. We receive that by faith. And you know, a lot of us don't have a problem with that. We believe that. But when it comes to other things in our lives that God has spoken, other promises of God, we struggle with that. We say, well, we can have faith for something we can't even remotely see or feel or taste or touch with our senses. But we struggle with faith for anything else that are God's promises. So I'd ask you today, I have a real question. This is not hypothetical. This is not just thinking. I'm asking you a real question. I want you to answer. What are some of the promises of God? I will never leave you or forsake you. Has anyone ever been tempted to not believe that? Where are you, God? Why aren't you with me? God says, no, I am with you. Where were you, God, when this happened? Right here. See, the fact is you might not feel it, but the reality is it's there. It's very real. And that's where the substance is. The substance is believing that. What else? What is another promise of God? Ask and you will receive. How many of us pray, oh God, if it's your will, would you possibly give me enough to get by? God says, ask and you'll receive. If you ask according to his will, what's the will of God? John expressed it very clearly with his friend Gaius. John said to this, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health above all things, even as your soul prospers. So he says, I want you to prosper body, soul, and spirit. So today you can say, God, I am blessed body, soul, and spirit. Do we have things wrong with our bodies? Yeah. Do we have things wrong with our souls? Of course. But God says, I want you to receive what I have for you. Just ask. You can have it. Let's hear another promise of God. I will give you rest. This is great. Karen just led me into the next and final point. Do you have complete peace? Maybe I should ask myself, but how would you answer that? I didn't get to hear most of us an answer. I would answer probably when somebody would just ask me that. Do you have complete peace? Well, yeah, kind of some of the times. But you know what the reality is? What is peace? Peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And who has the Spirit inside them? Everyone who's received Jesus as their Lord and Savior has peace. You have perfect peace. But you say, well, I don't feel peaceful. Well, wow, okay. Then let's believe in faith. That's the substance and the evidence that we have peace. And so we're not asking God for something he hasn't already given us. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. As we've come to know him, we can stand in that faith. We can say, God, my emotions don't feel it. The evidence that I can touch, the evidence in this world doesn't show it, but I have perfect peace. I love the Message version of one of my favorite scriptures because I read this over and over again when I was sick. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. And I love the Message version of that. It says, bless the Lord, I tell myself. My soul, what is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. He said, bless the Lord, I tell myself. So today, here's what I want us to do. I want us to tell ourselves, Have faith in the one who's faithful. Believe the one who is more real than anything here in our temporal world. Have faith, and believing and not doubting, you will receive. Thank you, Don. You will receive. And in the meantime, don't say, oh, I had faith, it didn't happen, I guess it wasn't real faith. No. You stand in that faith and let that be the substance of what you hope for, what you believe in, and what you know about the truth of God. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we could even say to the mountains of the things in our life that seem to be looming, coming against us, we say, in faith, move. And we bless you, God, that you have brought us here today and you've demonstrated your faith by installing John, by appointing Karen and Nancy. So we say, God, we will be the people that answer your question to the affirmative. When you come, will you find faith on the earth? We will be those people. Thank you, God. Amen.